Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Here we are.
Oh, wow.
Melissa, Adrian, Scotty, 313. We're all in the house. My name is George. The UAW Factory Whisper Show. Take it away, Adrian, Scotty, Melissa, 313.
Hey, Melissa, how much storm damage do you guys got?
We have none. Why?
Well, I thought the storms came up through Indiana.
Which part? I haven't seen any storms.
Okay.
But thank you for asking.
We said, okay.
That'd be good.
Before we begin the show tonight, Melissa, I need to know, are you okay?
It was a sharp piece of plastic that came off the shifter cable and went in my eye.
Okay.
I think he got it out, but my eye scratched up pretty bad. It's foggy, so I'm going to go see him again tomorrow and have him send me to an ophthalmologist.
Very good. Very good.
Yes. But I did hear you last night. Thank you. But I just couldn't get on because I was on the line and it's way too loud.
No, that's okay. I'm concerned. And I know you're just getting back, so, you know.
Yeah, and I don't want to go out again. I don't want to go out again. I mean,
I know that's right.
Do you know
right.
how good it felt to pay for groceries myself the other day?
Oh, that's a blessing.
Yeah.
Don't pay for mine this week?
I guess I could. If you're cooking.
If we knew you were missing paying for groceries, we could all in and let you buy our groceries.
Well, currently, I'm living with Don, and he doesn't feed me very well.
Well, I hope you like ramen noodles and macaroni and cheese.
Okay.
Melissa likes to cook.
Oh, yes, she does. That I do remember. She likes grilling, too.
I'm the only one that grills in this household.
Smoking the meat.
That's okay.
We don't want to know
smoke
about
the meat. No,
well,
we don't.
Not trying to cut anybody off, but we need to get to this business at hand. The reason that this special edition is called is because of an article that came out this week in the Detroit News on June the 25th is telling us that our current UAW president, Rory Gamble, will be retiring on June the 30th. Even though this information had came to us by the news in April of this year that he was thinking about it. So now it's being confirmed that he's going to be retiring.
Just
so,
2 days ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you said that the 25th, like it was like, you know, like Monday or Tuesday. No, it was just 2 days ago.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Well, what I'm trying to get at is this. We need to take this article and put it into perspective and break it down. So
I did do that. What did you get out of that, Adrian? Because I got a lot of that letter. You had a federal government guy openly admitted he didn't even investigate Rory Gamble because he had no intentions of going that far up. Setting that aside, I look at a lot of other things. I look at the UAW. Their value went up from $1.1 billion to damn near, what was it, $107 million the following year, and then it grew like hell again, you know? I mean, there's a lot of things to look at, but the one number that scared me the most, people, if that article's got any truth in it, and it's truthful about the UAW membership, sitting at 397,000. That's a damn disgrace when you figure that includes college workers, casino workers, everybody in the hash bucket all together, and we're only at 397,000, when General Motors was once in its heyday was 750,000, Ford was like at 600,000, and Chrysler was following up. Well, actually, Chrysler was in third place. Following up in the rear back then was a little place, a company called American Motors, if anybody remembers that.
Hmm. Pretty sad, isn't it?
It's more than sad.
Yeah.
So, as we get into the article that this brings up this point, out of the article, he had said back in April that he was talking about going. And he said his original intent as a UAW vice president was to retire at the end of June 2021. But see, since he went in as vice president, you had the Gary Jones get caught stealing from the membership, get sentenced, is going to go to prison. He filled in, become the president. It seems like he would have finished out his term as president. That's just my thought. Because you had no intention, because you just got named the vice president of the Ford department and you were going to leave early to begin with. Did that have anything to do maybe with the federal investigation, maybe?
Something's going on.
Scott, are you talking about Rory or Cream?
He's talking about Rory.
Cream's sliding out under the table, too. He's going to go out, everybody looking at Rory, and Cream's going to be gone the 30th, too. Look at that.
Yes, yes, they both are. But I'm just thinking that, you know, because in his article, in the Detroit News article that he was referring to, he said, my original intent as vice president was retired at the end of 2021, June of 2021. And after looking at the progress we've made, this is the time for me to turn over the reins.
You broke up.
You broke up. Uh-oh. Hear me now?
Yeah, start over.
Okay. He said, my original intentions as a vice president was to retire at the end of June 2021. And after looking at the progress we have made in the best interest of UAW members for stable transfer of power, this is the right time for me to turn over the reins. All right. What's so stable? And why are we transferring power?
I don't know, but he noticed he said he would like to see the next president be one of many terms. But another thing I caught in that article in the Free Press, did anybody catch that November 12th date that they talked about?
You said the Free Press?
Yeah, the Free Press and Detroit News, November 12th. They said that's when it's got to come to a vote by the federal agreement for one member, one vote by November 12th. And if that passes, then it must happen by June of 2022. They're sliding so much shit on top of this frosting, we can't see what's in the damn recipe here. Look at this shit. There's a lot of shit coming up, folks, that they're trying to hide.
The convention is
no, they're not going to do it at the. I know, but they're not going to do it at the convention. It says November 12th. Is that the new convention date?
November the 12th is for the one member, one vote.
Yeah,
right.
That's what they're saying. November 12th will be the one member, one vote by the
that's to get that approved.
And
then the convention in 22 would be for the vote for the candidates that one member, one vote would select.
Yeah, that vote would happen at that next thing. If that passes in November, one member, one vote would happen at the next convention, correct?
Right, that's correct.
Okay, well, I'm just saying they're sliding a lot of shit under the table that nobody's really even hearing about or understanding. Just like, I feel kind of stupid in a way, and I even called a couple people about this because it's been right in front of our face. Hey, wake up, all you tier workers. Look how they're becoming legacy workers. They just take a union office, get appointed over to the region, and wham, bam, they're a legacy worker. That's how Norwood's kids do it. If they don't want to do it for you, ain't you punks ever heard of discrimination?
Right.
Think about it. One, you shouldn't be running for office, in my opinion, because you're a town, but they're allowing it.
I kind of like to take this thing, you know, chunk by chunk, the top to the bottom.
That's what I was trying to do with this article.
Right. When he said that the stable transfer of power is the right time for me to turn over the reins, okay? The stable transfer of power. You guys have been transferring power for the last 15 months. And what's so stable about it? We're still not out of the woods with all the stuff. I mean, the dust hasn't settled with all the federal stuff. They haven't. Sentencing just got done with Williams, not even, what, 2 weeks ago or a week ago.
Jones.
Well, he's not appointed no more. That's stable. And they've had, what, 11 convictions or guilty pleas, and then the rest were convicted, I guess, because the paper says only 11, but if my math's right, there's more than 11.
15. It's 15.
It's 15.
Like I said, we'll keep going. They said that Gamble's early retirement, I'm going to read this so we can just chop away at this. They said Gamble's early retirement was expected. Okay, well, we didn't know about that. He said that he had told the IEB that he wasn't going to do his full 4 years, I guess. So, but he said that in April. They was going to retire a year before the end of his four-year term. It would be a position that Secretary of Treasury Ray Curry, 55 years of age, as the second black president of the union, marred by 11 former officials being convicted of federal crimes in recent years. Additionally, Curry represents the possibility for a long-term leader amid a historic transformation in the automotive industry toward electrification. Okay, so we're looking at, he's going to give the nod and the wink and hand over the baton to Ray Curry, correct?
Correct.
Well, I mean, that's going to be his recommendation to the IEB.
Correct.
And then they're probably going to go ahead and go with it because I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's other players involved in this whole schematic. Okay, you know what I mean? You got cream going out, okay, so that means you're left short one VP right off the get-go on the same day. Who's going to take cream's place? Because I don't think it does say who's going to take cream's place.
That comes further down in the – it's further in the article.
All right. Well, you're
getting ahead of yourself because it doesn't state that in this paragraph. So with Curry
– coming in, right, at 55 years old.
Right,
okay,
given 2 years.
That, right. But I'm going, wait a minute. You're bringing Curry in who's been involved. All of you guys have been involved in this horseshit that you've been stealing money from the members and all the stuff that the shenanigans that have been involved in all this. And they said they're going to do this transfer of power. And I'm going, wait a minute. You guys are setting yourself up to just keep things in the status quo.
Correct.
Is that kind of what you catch out of this?
The way I get it is that you don't believe that the one member, one vote is going to pass, and so it's going to be business as usual.
Correct.
We'll keep having people out of one caucus be the next person. The next person in line is the person that leads you to the presidency.
Right.
That's the way I take it.
And, like you said, Curry, being 55 years old, he could finish this term out and possibly, depending on what happens in November, he'd run two more.
Well, he'd be in there for the next 10 years.
Right, because you got the You see, he's 55 years old. His terms are four years. So two terms would be eight. If he finishes out Gambles, which is, what, a year and a half?
A year.
So he could, yeah, he could possibly, He could finish out Gambles. Let's say he turns 56. He would turn, if he was to get elected for the next 4 years, and then get reelected again the following four-year term, he would,
and the
he
following,
would retire
actually.
At six, yeah, he would retire at 66. You know,
he could possibly be like 67.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
because
he could serve three terms, 12 years.
Well, yeah, he finished out Gambles and possibly two after that. You're right. But there's been, I remember Danjan talking about that. Adrian, Jim, you're out there. You tell me, isn't the unwritten law that, the unwritten law, when you're 65, you retire?
I thought it was. Let me get Carrie on, too. Let me get her on. Carrie, you're on. Also.
Last time is the way Uncle Dick told me, back when he retired 65, you were done, and then right after he retired, they said they'd let you finish. You could finish out the term you were serving.
That's correct.
Once you attained 65, you could not run again.
That's correct. That's the way that goes.
Now, there isn't a law that says that.
That's
just
according to their
agreement.
Caucus rules. That's
correct.
Their caucus rules.
Or, man, we got to go back ways. We got to go back to Jokic. If I remember right, Jokic had said something that if you were going to run for the position of president of the International Union, if you were going to turn 65 prior to halfway through your tenure there, that you were recommended that you didn't run.
Yeah, he did that to stop what's his name, the one Dick fought so highly for. What was his name? Started with an E. Damn it. The one Jokic stepped on. He should have been president before Jokic.
Eflin.
Yes.
Eflin.
Irregardless,
yes.
That's still administrative caucus rule. That is not the Constitution.
Correct.
Well, yeah, but we have a one-party system when you get to
but
that.
But that's what we're trying to break up.
Right.
Amen.
And tail end of that, when they talk about this this little section, okay, we understand that people have been convicted of crimes and stuff like that, and these people have been around all this. Okay, they all have been. But I'm going to myself, and the tail end of this part of that paragraph, it says, they're talking about a long-term leader amid a historic transformation in the automotive industry toward electrification. What makes you such an expert to lead our glorious union in such a turbulent time when we're all losing our jobs? When you guys couldn't negotiate a very good contract to begin with.
Let me get Paul. Paul, you're on, and we have a lot of people on the switchboard. Push one on the keypad if you'd like to join the conversation. Carry on, Scott.
Not only that, Scott, but and I keep trying to bring this to the forefront with everybody. The UAW is not just automotive.
Correct.
It's aerospace and agriculture. Okay, that's
right.
What the UAW stands for.
And education.
So all you want to talk about is automotive, there's a problem there.
Well,
right.
Yes, but when our leaders are going down and going to colleges, they're going to casino workers. How we even support the strippers out in Vegas? Come on.
Well, that's true. See, the support is not. If I had my way, we have three VPs for automotive. Where's our VP for aerospace, and where's our VP for agriculture?
Amen.
Because that's the UAW. The rest of them don't get VPs. Because, you know, they're subunits.
Right.
Okay, but
you tie them.
Where's the agriculture and the aerospace VP? Why is it that they don't have a voice? Then the other part, you keep going out and just willy-nilly getting anybody to join, and yet and still you have not a clue as to how to negotiate for these other entities. Because who's negotiating for them?
You
know, three vice presidents that we have?
They don't have a clue as how to negotiate for auto workers anymore. They're just trying to pick up members anywhere because they've utterly failed in the auto sector.
They've failed all of their members.
Right.
They gave that number out, Paul. They're saying the membership of the UAW is 397,000 strong. And that includes the colleges, all of them, you know, the medical workers, the aerospace, you know, the farmers, the ag, and tier two, tier three, tier four. When do I stop?
Well, we just lost, if they're saying 397, right, we just lost almost 100,000 members because it was over 450,000 members. So what happened to the members?
I thought I was the only one that saw that. You're correct. Right before Christmas last year, between Ford, GM, and it was Fiat then, or whatever the hell they called it, it was right before that takeover because all of a sudden Fiat had more employees than GM, but you're right, it was almost 500,000.
Right. So what happened to those?
They must have done that.
There's so many lies being told.
It must have been that progression shit in the COVID, and they had to restart their day or something. I don't know.
It must have been a clerical error.
And then let us take a look at, in that same paragraph, where we're talking about Mr. Curry. Mr. Curry came from Region 8. That's the region that they got rid of, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he worked closely with who?
He
worked closely with Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones.
And
Vance.
And Vance. And so we want him to be our president.
They got to keep it all in the family. I mean, I think it's ridiculous they picked up all these other industries, and those industries don't really have any representation within the International Union.
Right.
Well, what does Cindy have? Cindy has Chrysler, and then she has other manufacturing. She has, like, three different things under her title. You know,
and she negotiates General Motors contract too. I ain't figured that one out yet.
Yeah, she needs
to
go
too. Well, why is she doing that? And you got Didas.
Tell me, but
Didas, or however you say his name, he the GM VP.
Yep.
She had her knee pads out and sat at the negotiating table for GM, and they openly admitted it.
No, she didn't. She had her mouth open and swallowed.
No. Yes, you are.
Let's just keep it real.
I feel the same way that because I can't understand how she has even made it as far as a VP. Here's a person that has never worked for any of the entities, none of them. How did she get to be a VP?
Say that, good knee pads and a tight mouth.
I don't know about knee pads, but okay. On the tight mouth.
Yeah.
you have to play the game if you want to play any role in the International Union. Several years ago, they had a meeting where someone asked what it takes to get on staff, and he was told that it doesn't matter how good you are, you have to be part of the team. That's all that matters. They don't care if their game
part
plan is failing. You just have to back it.
And that is what screwed our UAW up.
Right.
That's why the members are suffering.
Yeah. Well, we have a union that does not it does not build leadership, but destroys true leaders. Because true leaders would take a look at this and say, this is crap. We've lost 90% of our membership at General Motors alone, and we still cooperate. And they thumb their nose. This thing that's going on in Lordstown Motors is a perfect illustration that it doesn't pay to cooperate with General Motors. You got to take them to the mat.
It's not just General Motors. It's all of them.
You're right, but I'm just saying, as someone who's worked for General Motors, and I am paying attention to what's going on elsewhere, General Motors has been the worst. They've been the worst at downsizing, the worst at outsourcing. They lie and mislead the union the most, and their leadership still kiss their hind end.
We're getting some interference.
This thing with Lordstown is atrocious.
We're getting some interference. Did anyone else hear it, or is it just me?
Yeah, I hear a little bit of it.
All right. So, yeah, you're right. You know, my question comes back to this. Where is Mr. Curry? Well, we know. Adrian already said he would come out of Region 8, who's been dissolved. He was real tight with Gary Jones, who's in prison, and Vance, who's in prison. You know, this is concerning. And where was he at during negotiations? What was his views on the contracts during negotiations?
Why is Volvo having so many problems? Ray Curry.
Yep, right.
Let me jump in here real quick. We have somebody in the chat room, Purple Pill. He usually comes to our Saturday show, but she should not confuse election with selection. And if voting really mattered, they wouldn't let us do it. Mark Twain.
Good treatment.
True. go ahead, guys.
Wow. And by the way, we still haven't known. Nobody has publicly said anything about that either, have they?
I got a question for you. Jones is due out of prison right before this election comes up, and him and Curry, you know, I don't know. I just, like I told somebody here, I hear a lot of rumors about coming back and all that bullshit. I thought, did he quit because he's still showing on roll, according to Casey there, Scott? I thought he quit, but now they're saying it was just the other guy.
Dennis Williams?
No.
What other
guy? They're saying that Jones is still a member of the UAW. He's just on leave.
Is there like prison leave in the UAW?
They have that. I know that for a fact.
Well, it sounds like it's getting a lot of good use right now.
Well, they probably renamed it Tether, you know. It had to come up with the times.
Yeah.
Wow.
That would be something.
I was told by a pretty good friend that he is possibly coming back to run again as VP. Run and support Curry, but be Curry's VP.
Well, let's see. He had a $150 per plate gala dinner last night. They were honoring and saluting the man, the legend, Mr. Rory Gamble. At the Westin Hotel in Southfield. Gamble himself, in a recent interview in CNBC, acknowledged that he was looking at my options right now. Okay, so I can't speculate what his options, what he's even referring to.
Right.
But to consider yourself a man, okay, we'll give you that part, okay? We'll give you, you know, the parts you were born with. But to say that you were a legend, you're going to honor and salute this person? What have you done to be honored and saluted in our glorious union?
Well, I'd say the level of corruption in the UAW is legendary.
Okay,
how many in the Teamsters went to prison?
He stopped the federal intervention. He did do that. He's also killed a couple things we had. What was it, Paragraph 8 or Article 8 and something else? You know,
31.
He took it up. He kiboshed them. He's done some things. Don't think he hasn't. And I'm sure there's been good things done if you were on his team. But like I said, our union is set up as a one-party system. If you're part of that system, you're going to be good. And if
right.
not, apparently, they don't give a shit about us on the lower plateaus. That's why I'm trying to tell these lower seniority or peer workers or whatever you want, get involved, man. That's the stuff right up the top dog once you get in that arena, kid. Just keep your nose
but
clean.
Well, lately the one-party systems acted like a religious cult. No, nobody speaks up in the union administration. Nobody goes against the flow, Jim.
Right, and but I'm going to say this with what we've just said and what we just talked about. If you go back to Adrian's viewpoint, if you filter that through the UAW Constitution. Was a problem.
Yes. Yeah.
If we use the UAW for the rest of this conversation as our guideline, as our standard, and how far removed we are from that standard in all of this, there's a lot to talk about on this, you know. But you want me to continue, Adrian?
Yes, continue.
During his short tenure, Gamble has helped negotiate a deal to resolve a criminal investigation of the UAW that gives the federal government prolonged oversight and broad control over the union. The oversight is expected to cost millions of dollars. Okay, so...
Millions of dollars to whom, the union or the federal government?
The federal government. Now,
okay.
Let's take that one little sentence right there.
Yeah.
The oversight is expected to cost millions of dollars. And let's go back to honoring and saluting the man. Why in the
Ooh.
Hell would I want to honor or salute you that you've allowed us to be in an oversight that's costing us millions of dollars?
Right. You're right, because you had, as a president, you had the opportunity to help self-police internally and take care of this corruption.
You can't self-police when you're part of the problem and not part of the solution.
Well, there's no checks and balances, you know, like
right.
in the real world, we have Republicans and Democrats at each other's throats. All they have is somebody like us that occasionally throws a spit wad at them. But, you know, their philosophy is, okay, go ahead and appeal, spend 3 years in the appeal process, and then sue us if you want. But they got a battery of lawyers as big as General Motors.
Well, we can't get lawyers because they've got them all tied up. But the one thing that we have, that is in our favor is the damn Constitution.
Right.
And they're all in violation of it.
It doesn't mean anything to them. They don't enforce the Constitution, especially their ethical code.
So what's wrong with the members? Why are the members sitting back on their laurels?
Good
they
question.
Are the highest governing body of the UAW.
Superior,
not the IEB.
That's
the members
what it says
are.
On paper.
Well, no. You know what? Yeah, it says it on paper. That's all you got to go on, is what it says on paper. And that's legal. That's a contract.
I agree with
it
you.
It is.
But just find a big, a good enough and cheap enough lawyer to enforce it.
Right.
Because they just look at us as flies on the wall. They don't even care what the law has to say because, I mean, that's why there's so many of them that have been indicted. They think the UAW is above the law, that all they have to do is make agreements with the auto companies and the other employers, and that's all that matters.
The only thing is that work more, Paul. They've been convicted, indicted as they're thinking about it. These are has-beens. They've already been sentenced, pled to, or been found guilty. They're guilty. Well, they've been convicted. Not, you know.
Exactly. But the thing is, they only pled guilty because they faced greater prison time if they didn't.
Well, that's right. And they got to squeal on the next guy up, and then
that's
for it. Some reason they didn't want to keep coming up. They stopped at this legend we're talking about.
Yeah. Well,
all right.
Since nobody spoke up, they're pretty much all guilty, Jim.
Rothenberg's even listed in here. And God, y'all know how guilty that son of a bitch is.
Okay, Scott, you want to carry on?
His shit's petrified.
All right, let me hit this next chunk here real quick.
It's involved with old Hollyfield and the very original one. So, you know, we know it, and if we know it, they're in the ones that need to know, and I know, and you know they know it. They just stopped looking. They didn't want to go no further. They, you know, I don't know why, but I think somebody found another cash cow that we're funding. Like I said, and then you go farther into this, what Scott's taking apart, you're going to see the union as a business is doing quite well. I'll let you guys go back. Go ahead, Scott.
All right. You ready for the next chunk?
Yep.
Gamble also announced reorganizations that included disbanding a 17-state region based in Missouri, that was Region 8, that employed leaders involved in financial wrongdoing. And he announced financial reforms that included appointing an independent ethics officer, strengthening internal financial controls, and ordering the sale of the $1.3 million lakefront retirement home for former President Dennis Williams. Okay, so he disbanded a region because there was some financial wrongdoing. So instead of cleaning the house and leaving the regional there, we just disbanded it. We just gutted it out and closed it down. And then he announced that financial reforms. Okay, well, wait a minute. If everybody was doing what we're supposed to do per the Constitution, if you guys have found wrongdoing, you should have kicked that person out of the UAW. Right?
They can't do that because they can't punish somebody too severely because then they'll turn on them.
Cut them
okay.
off.
I mean, there's virtually no one at the top of the leadership who isn't guilty. Because if you didn't open your mouth and you went along with it, you are guilty.
Well, there's no honor amongst thieves, right? Just saying. So,
right.
And then we have an independent ethics officer, which, again, we don't need that. We're just creating more bureaucrats inside of our union.
Mm-hmm.
And then they strengthened the internal financial controls. Okay, how did you strengthen the internal financial controls? Because somebody's manipulating the money pretty good. Gee, that'd be Mr. Curry. Because if I'm not...
Uh-oh, Scott.
Defense fund gets above $800 million. We're supposed to get our half hour of union dues being taken out, returned back to us, right?
Correct.
It'll never get above
that.
They spend like drunken sailors. They'll make sure it never gets to that point.
Exactly. And Dennis Williams, well, we know that they allowed Dennis Williams of who was there in place before, and knew what was going on full well what was happening up Black Lake. So I guess I can't really talk about that. But if Gamble, well, where was Corey at that time? He was a regional, right?
He was a regional before 2018.
Right. So he knew about Dennis Williams' luxurious cottage being built up on Black Lake.
Well, they didn't look at that as stealing. That was just the perks that they get for, you know, being in control. You know, to the victor goes the spoils.
Right. Well, that's legendary. Yeah, okay. All right, so the next part, it kind of gets me, and I thought about this a few times, and I read this article a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
This really kind of gets me, because we all here know, Jimmy all knows all full too well, the importance of words.
Right.
And the words according to what Black's Law Dictionary says, because this is all legal stuff we're talking about.
Right.
This next paragraph said that Gamble's resignation comes after a third-party monitor has been appointed to oversee the union for the next 6 years as the organization emerges from its most legally fraught period in 86-year history. The union reached a consent decree with the Justice Department in December after a federal corruption investigation convicted two presidents, two vice presidents, and others. Okay, I'm going to come back to the beginning of that. Gamble's resignation. It doesn't say he's retiring. It says resignation. Did
you
I miss something?
Did they give him an appointed job?
When you retire, they consider it, or when...
Oh, I get you.
How do I
get you?
Because it's a play on the word.
This way. He's leaving his elected office before the end of the term. He has to in a resignation, then he can retire.
Exactly.
Okay, I got you. He's resigning his position so he can retire. Okay.
Correct.
Makes sense. Just like I had to resign my district shop committee job so I could transfer out of the plant. I got you. Okay.
Why is he resigning?
Because he wants to retire.
I got in about 15 minutes late on the show. I didn't know about
it. He claimed back in April when he talked to the media, the news media, that he was having some health problems, and you know, so he was thinking about retiring in June.
Well, they're probably all having anxiety attacks up there.
Shit, he's got 34 grandbabies. I'd have retired a long time ago. And had some big fun. I'm proud of you, Rory.
All right. So let's hit the next chunk on this. The
can
consent
you hear me?
Decree. Yeah. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
I hear you.
Hey, it's JJ.
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 Hey, bring up a point about Rory, you know, we have the referendum vote that's going to be coming up sometime within the next 5 months. And he did say early on that he was going to educate the membership on both sides of the issue. And now that he's resigning or whatever he's doing, right, stepping down, he no longer has to do that.
Correct.
JJ, look at the date, November 12th. I think that's – he mentions this date in here, and that's over that one member, one vote referendum. That's going to happen November 12th, it says. It says it must happen by then.
Right.
So it could happen any time from now until November 12th, but by federal law or something, it sounds like it's mandated. It has to happen by the 12th of November.
Yeah, because it's in the agreement that it had to been has to be done 6 months after the overseer is selected, right? So it's been a month. So we've got 5 more months until this referendum vote, until we get a chance to vote on it. But Rory did say, when asked about it in an interview, I remember this, that he was going to educate the members on both sides of the issues for one member, one vote, and to keep it the same, which I laughed about, and that's why I remember it so clearly, because I laughed knowing damn well that they're not going to educate the members about this vote.
Correct.
And who's voting and who's counting the votes?
Ah.
Well, it's all being overseen.
Is someone like Joseph Stalin counting the votes?
What's the monitor for?
Or maybe an honest federal employee, right?
Yeah.
That's scary in its own part.
Adrian, I'm going to add a half hour to the show.
Okay, because I see we can't get through this. We
right.
really want to get through this, and then all the other conversations we can have. But we need to get through this article.
All right, I'll plow through right now.
Okay, thank
they,
you.
They said, yep. The consent decree also requires a historic referendum to decide whether to amend the UAW Constitution to enable the direct election of the union's top officials. Such a move would represent a radical departure from the decades-long
practice
to choose those members of the union's international board. Elevating Curry, a member of the union's board, would provide an incumbent option with ties to UAW's existing leadership for the organization's instead of leaving it vacant for what could be the union's first one-person, one-vote election in history. UAW leaders have a tradition of stepping down or not pursuing re-election when they turn 65. Gerald Kareem, 65, UAW Vice President, head of the Ford Department, recently said he will retire at the end of June. Curry's appointment could help to realize Gamble's goal of ending a string of one-term presidents leading the UAW since 2010. Gamble and his predecessor, Gary Jones, who was convicted for helping steal more than $1 million from the rank-and-file workers as part of a racketeering scheme, had some of the shortest presidents in the union's history since its earliest leaders took the organization's founding in 1935. Jones was president for 17 months. Gamble has been president for almost 19 months. With the ability to run for a full term in 2022 and a re-election in 2026, Curry's theoretical presidency could last for about 9 years. Such a tenure would span the fraught transition toward electric vehicles that require fewer workers to assemble and fewer parts than their gas and diesel-powered predecessors. If the membership of the UAW chooses the one-member, one-vote principle through the referendum, according to the consent decree between the union and the government, not our union, it was the union leadership, put that on there, okay, referendum, the UAW Constitution would be amended to incorporate the new election model ahead of the next UAW Constitutional Convention in June 2022, when the next election for executive board would take place. The secretary treasurer position in this is the second highest ranking job in a union with more than $1.1 billion in assets and approximately 1 million active and retired workers. The candidates vying to become the next secretary treasurer are said to be UAW Vice President Cindy Estrada, 52, who oversees the union's organizing efforts, and its Stellantis NV department, and Chuck Browning, 56, who leads a union region that includes Detroit and most of Wayne County. Two sources with knowledge of the succession plans previously told the news. On Friday, which was 2 days ago, two sources familiar with the fluid situation inside the union's leadership ranks said that Estrada had withdrawn from the consideration to become secretary-treasurer and that Browning is interested in heading the union's floor department, replacing Kareem. The succession plan reflects the personal challenges to moving beyond the most damaging period in the union's long history. The news reported that in late 2017, the federal agents are interested in Estrada while investigating whether worker training funds were misappropriated and if labor leaders received money or benefits through their tax-exempt nonprofits. She has not been charged with wrongdoing. Browning, meanwhile, served as executive administrative assistant to President Dennis Williams, who was sentenced to 21 months in federal prison for conspiring to embezzle union funds. Respected inside the union and among auto executives, Browning has not been linked to the UAW scandal. The future of the UAW will be shaped by government oversight. U.S. District Judge David Lawson appointed New York Attorney Neil Barofsky as the monitoring overseer seeing UAW reforms. Within the next 6 months, the UAW must hold a referendum vote on the amending the union's constitution to allow for the direct election of UAW's executive board. The consent decree, also including appointing an injunction officer empowered to discipline and expel UAW officers for committing crimes, violating ethic rules, or the union's constitution, federal investigators have amassed evidence of UAW officials engaged in conduct that did not lend to criminal charges and that evidence could be used to expel current union leaders once the monitor and the adjudications officer are appointed, according to sources familiar with the investigation. In all, the ongoing crackdown on the auto industry corruption has led to the convictions of 15 people, including former UAW President Jones and Williams. The investigation has revealed labor leaders and the executives broke federal labor laws, stole union funds, and received bribes and illegal benefits from union contractors and Fiat Chrysler Automotive NV executives. We have to be very precise and have zero tolerance going forward on how we manage our union, Gamble told the news on an interview on November 2019, which means we've got just to be honest with ourselves and recognize that there was a problem and there's a need for great change, and we had to show that we can self-govern. We don't have time to procrastinate on big things, and what needs to be corrected in our union, we've got to move fast. End of article.
Okay, Carrie, you're on.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hello, Carrie.
Hi. Hey, what happened with Curry's sexual harassment lawsuit?
No. We're talking about this article. We don't want to get off into... The article has nothing to do with Curry and his sexual harassment. We're trying to break this article down.
Right. The article does give you some foresight and maybe some questions that people who are listening might have. I'm going to read this part again. It said, the consent decree also includes appointing an adjunctions officer empowered. Adjudications. I'm sorry. I'm reading from like 3 foot away. I should put my glasses on. Anyway. Okay.
You can't read and you cannot just get on with it.
All right. So this officer is empowered to discipline and expel UAW officers for committing crimes,
mm-hmm.
violating ethnic rules, or the union's mm-hmm. constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So if you stop and thinking, oh, wait a minute, and they're saying, that's as this is in place. That means he can go back previous. Not
we
just going forward.
That now. Constitution,
he can go backwards. Huh?
I believe that's in the Constitution now. They just don't enforce it. If you get caught
right.
stealing, you're supposed to lose your membership. When you lose your membership, you're supposed to lose your pensions and all the other bullshit.
Right.
But I'm sorry.
Right.
Take it out, Adrian or Scott. You're going great.
Well, it's just that this officer has this power. They can go back, you know, anywhere on this whole thing. He said that if any of the evidence of the UAW officials engaged in the conduct that did not lead to criminal charges and evidence that could be used to expel current union leaders, once the monitor and the adjudications officer are appointed, okay, well, wait a minute. There's a seven right there. I can go back. I don't have to just deal with what I got currently. I can go backwards, too. Do you think that might have something to do with this?
Something to do
because
with them retiring?
Maybe, because if you remember right, they dropped everything. They dropped the investigation on Gamble because he was so willing to work with the federal government. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
So
he was their confidential informant.
Well, they have many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why they're not all in prison. They had to have a few rats to rat out the other ones.
I agree. Now, we're talking about Mr. Browning.
Yeah.
I got to stop and think about Mr. Browning for a minute. Because if I remember right, when we were in strike, Mr. Browning was wearing some kind of a clear rain coat or a garbage can. And he's all dressed up, and he was out there, and he was preaching how good this contract was for us. I mean, think. And he was also the executive administrative aide to then President Dennis Williams. Wow.
How good was this current contract for the Lordstown workers?
Oh, it was absolutely terrible. It closed the coffin and put 8 foot of dirt on top of them.
And they stuck them in a company that's underfunded and might go out of business. Is that right?
Most of them transferred.
Lordstown Motors is underfunded.
Yeah, no. Most of those workers,
okay,
either had to they made a special attrition program so they could either retire. Or they had to move out, and we have a lot of people in Flint from the old Lordstown assembly plant.
Oh, yeah.
You had to move.
Yeah. You had to uproot your family.
Yep. Yeah.
There's a lot of people at our plant that have not moved. They refuse to move. They just do the drive every day.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
A long-ass drive, too.
Nope.
Oh, yeah. People driving from Grand Rapids to Flint every day. I don't know. And working 12 hours.
How do you do that?
Get old
wow.
quick. You get old quick. That's General Motors and the G's they created. They're all doing it now. Oh, that's what I'm saying. And we're doing it for $2 over a hamburger flipper now, Rory. You get that? $2 over a hamburger flipper. Why do I want to wear my body out when I can get $15 an hour for flipping burgers?
What?
And if it's day one.
I just saw up north, Traverse City, if you go to their finer restaurant, you can get $18 an hour to wash dishes. Hell, I got clean hand and fingernails to boot now. Shit, we're cooking.
I'm going to get on that. I'm going to get on Adrian's bicycle and ride for a minute.
How come I have tried to reach out to some people who both work at John Deere and at Caterpillar.
Yeah.
They've not gotten back with me. But
okay.
That's some of our brothers and sisters in the agricultural division who have literally gotten screwed personally by Dennis Williams, who was the pioneer of the tier system in the UAW.
Right.
And the innovator of, this was my last and final offer.
How do they feel about this? How do our ag workers feel about the opportunity to actually elect somebody that might represent them?
Right.
I don't even know who owns. I think the Secretary Treasurer does, though. I think the Secretary
Treasurer. It's all divided so much amongst ourselves anymore. You know, they know how to divide the vote so they can still win. It might be a close election, but they still know how to do. Plus, it's their election. They get to make the rules. Like I said, if you can't have four or five challengers in there, there's so many ways they can steal that election right in front of your face, and you don't even know it. You got to have two in there just for yourself. You want to be there watching them read the names and making sure them read right, and then you want to have somebody out there counting them a couple things, making sure the numbers are adding up to what you're seeing read. You ain't got time to do that all yourself. There's so many ways they can steal these elections right in front of you. Everybody goes, well, I saw the voter can. It was empty. That's fine. But when they pulled that ballot out and he said, yeah, Joe Q Lunch Bucket. Well, it could have said Jimmy Johnny James. You don't know. You're going just by what that guy read because he's the only one looking at that damn ballot. That's what Dick taught me. That's how they steal 90% of their elections. They used to have a school at the region on how to steal an election. But that was in the early 70s. You know, I'm old. I know a lot of their shit. Hell, the president on Holbrook, he insisted on being the first one voted. And he'd always tell you, look, I voted for the other guy. And he would hold it up, and sure as shit, it'd be a vote for the other guy. Well, actually, when you voted for the other guy, you were voting for Frank. Nobody could figure out how he was winning. But after the fourth election, they found out he would switch it because he was the first one in. He just changed the name on the box.
You know, in that article, though, one of the things in that article that you read that really just taps me severely is that they're calling the one member, one vote referendum a radical change. If I'm not mistaken, when the UAW was founded, it was one member, one vote. How is this a radical change? It's a radical change because
they might have to actually go on the shop floor and put on a pair of gloves or follow Rory down that golden road to retirement. God knows how many pensions some of them are going to get. And Cindy, like I said, you guys know, the only reason she's there is because her daddy owned a bar across the street from Ford Motor in Dearborn, and she was waiting tables at the right spot and winked at the right guy. That's the only way she got in.
But that language, that word, was put in that article intentionally.
Yes.
Intentionally to sway people to keep the status quo.
Yeah.
There's nothing radical about
Agreed. One
member, one vote.
Agreed, but how long have you been being called a militant? I've been being called a militant since about 1976 just because I supported one member, one vote, and because I looked at it, hey, if I get 19 minutes for lunch and you only get 18, I want you to get 19 instead of me going back to 18. That was wrong.
I agree.
Well,
I found it quite interesting that Cindy Estrada was trying to choose to run for the Secretary Treasurer position. That would put her, if you don't get the one member, one vote, and it remains administrative caucus rule, that would put her in a position to become the next UAW president.
Correct. Yes, it will.
But
and she means,
Chuck Browning threw a monkey wrench in there.
Yes,
when
second
Chuck Browning said, no, I'm going to run for it. So, therefore, she stepped down from that. I thought that was quite interesting.
And that's happened with Jokic did that not that long ago, people.
Well, you know, when sellout Cindy came to Dundee Engine, came to our plant,
mm-hmm.
and had a little sit-down with us to get feedback from the members after this whole corruption scandal, right, to try to repair the damage that had been done and try to gain back the trust of the membership was their purpose for doing it, right? Chuck Browning, for those people who read people well and that are intelligent like us, you know, you see right through him. But you see that he's a weasel, no good. But anyway, he is much, much better at speaking than Cindy is. He's very, very good at political speech, you know, where they say a whole lot but don't say anything.
Say nothing.
Right.
Right. Right.
Exactly. He's much better than Cindy. He would have a easier time influencing people than she would.
I don't think her tight lips could get her that position of Secretary Treasurer over Chuck Browning. See, as I said before, she has not worked in any facility at all. She shouldn't have a position, no high-end position that she has, if she should have a position at all. Chuck Browning has worked.
That's true.
And that makes a difference. She knows either way it go, even if they don't get one member, one vote, she cannot beat him.
Well, the majority of people that I've spoken with at Dundee, and now you guys know I'm at Toledo Jeep, right, for the apprenticeship. Even the people that I've been talking to at Toledo Jeep, I haven't spoken with one single person yet that supports the system.
Right.
Everyone that I've spoken to wants one member, one vote. And we're talking, I've talked to at least 250 at Dundee.
And right around. Really, JJ, nobody's talking about it in the plants. All my friends are like, really? We didn't know that. I says, yeah, it's been on my Facebook page to sign this petition. We all got to get together. All the shit aside, everybody got to come and put their name on this one.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to have to be all hands on deck. We got to spread the word about this upcoming vote. This is historic. We can put an end to the cronyism and the one-party system, the corrupt one-party system in our wonderful UAW.
Yeah, but how about the people in other industries that UAW represents? Are those people unhappy? You know, auto workers are unhappy because they've been kicked all over the place. You know, it's not unusual to find somebody that's worked in four or five different plants and had long-term unemployment. The bad decision-making of the UAW hasn't really impacted these other people yet.
That's correct. They really haven't even been UAW members long enough to feel the impacts.
Yeah. I mean,
as I said, automotive, aerospace, and agriculture has helped.
I mean,
but
I remember Caterpillar being on strike for 4 years.
Yeah, yeah. Ineffective. Ineffective strike.
Now, wait a minute. I'm going to throw a curveball at you guys. So Curry's going to step up to be president until a formal election. Cindy Estrada's going to stay where she's at in the hope to get the president's job. Kareem is retiring. They're going to move Bo Browning up to handle the Ford Department. Doesn't say who's going to take the financial secretary.
That's right.
Cindy is.
No.
No.
Mm-mm. Yes, mark my words, they're going to appoint Cindy backdoor in.
No, she doesn't want that because she wants an opportunity. Oh, I don't know why she couldn't go for president if she was financial secretary, but...
Thank you.
She's going to want... I think she wants a clear shot at the presidency.
The problem with Cindy is that when the convention comes up, because she had a problem in 2018 at the convention. Cindy would have lost her spot had they illegally decided to run as a team. She's a weak link.
Yes. Yes.
That's why we call her Sellout Cindy, because of Lordstown.
Yeah. She's a very weak link.
And if I remember right, didn't she have the problem, if I remember the videos from the last convention, certain people asked questions at the floor, and they did not have the answers, and they had to convene. If she told people they were out of order, how are they out of order for asking the question?
With a bullhorn.
Yes.
And when I confronted her about her calling a certain individual out of order, when he clearly was not out of order, when I questioned her on that, she lied right to my face. She lied right to my face because apparently she didn't think that I would go back and check and do my homework and talk to the individual who she called out of order.
Actually,
and
that individual was called out of order twice over two different things that was brought up.
You're right. Absolutely correct on that. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So
very interesting.
It wasn't out of order. It absolutely was not out of order.
Well, that illustrates one thing. The UAW does not really want ethical reform. What they want is kind of reforms that will keep them out of legal hot water. They don't want to turn this into a morally upright union. They just want to stay out of jail.
Right.
They don't want to be truly democratic.
Right.
They want to still control because they know if it was truly democratic, they'd be out.
Yeah. Or at least they'd have to work to earn their spot. The thing is, most of these people really, you know, have some idea how to represent us. They just rather work with a company to get those joint funds. We're just pawns.
Right.
Yep, absolutely.
Well,
I just thought that article was very interesting that we should have this special edition on the show for us to read this article, break this article down as far as we could break it down, just using what is said in the article. Because I thought it was very interesting, some of the words that's used, some of the things that are said. Finding out about the adjudications officer and his powers or her powers, the monitor, and like I say, the things that we have been saying on this show about violating of ethic rules, that they're against. We've got a whole leadership here that is not honoring the Constitution as it is written.
Well, you know, you mentioned ethics, and, you know, Adrian, his ethics committee, these reforms that they've instilled, and one being the ethics committee, I follow over 40 different UAW pages, and I've seen a couple of individuals come forward about some individuals who were selected for that ethics committee.
Yes.
Who aren't very ethical.
Yes.
One in particular was caught, apparently, stealing funds from the local as a representative.
Right.
No.
Yeah. And so the individual, she paid it back, right? And they swept it under the rug, and she couldn't hold a position in the local anymore. But now she sits on Rory Gamble's ethics committee. How about that? Some ethical committee.
That's quite interesting. But let us take a look at the Constitution has pages about ethics.
Yeah.
So you already have ethic rules in the Constitution
right.
that you weren't abiding by before. So now you done set up a committee.
And let's not forget about their blatant violations, because Article 2 clearly states in there that the establishment of the UAW and the purpose is to fight for the betterment of the membership.
Uh-huh.
Yet, for the last 30 years, we've received concessions.
Correct.
We've given concessions.
They were promised to be given back to us that we've never received them.
So they're in violation of Article 2 every single contract, because they don't fight for our betterment.
That's correct.
So they should all be removed.
Yes.
Wow.
And it's really just that simple, because they're in violation.
Thanks.
And it's
absolutely. Absolutely.
Real quick, I found out who owns the ag department. Dites. Or Dites, whatever.
He owns the what?
As the vice president, he has directed the FCA, Agricultural Implements, Heavy Truck, General Dynamics, Gaming, and General Motors Department.
Holy shit. No, he's got a lot of pensions coming then.
Yeah.
Got to look at it that way, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Every hat pays them a little bit more money. And they're getting a lot more money.
You know, I think the one member, one vote, if we can get the word out, you know, our brothers and sisters that are clerical and ethics, the colleges, and the gaming, you know, they're smart folks, right? And I know that they want better representation, because I mean, like you pointed out, Adrian, there's no vice president. Or
they
want
a seat at the table, JJ. But if you look at the way it's written, their vote is like worth 1/10 of a UAW of an auto worker's vote. It's weird how that shit works out. Adrian's probably seen that format before, where one vote equals so many votes.
Right.
They treat them as second class, is what I'm trying to say. And I'm surprised with their education, they've never stopped that.
Right, because they won't get an equal seat at the table unless we have one member, one vote. And the same with our brothers and sisters that are working in the supplier, you know, the
part suppliers.
Part suppliers, yeah. And I've got friends that work.
I'm gonna go out on a limb on it. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I've got friends, and actually, I have a family member that works for the part suppliers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I hear all the time how, I mean, sometimes we have it bad, you know, as auto workers in our plants, but
right.
The things that these guys go through, way worse than what we do. And they don't get the support from the region or the international.
Right.
I'm going to kind of go out on a limb here, because I've said it before. The part suppliers are actually part of automotive, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, they should be. So you're absolutely right. I agree.
Yeah, they should be treated. They should be treated as such. But,
especially since they're doing work that we used to do.
But
General
when,
Motors, Ford, and Chrysler has outsourced all kinds of work.
Excuse me. I wasn't spent. I wasn't finished.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Where I have the problem, with all of the other units that have in recent years come in, such as nurses, teachers, casinos. I have problems with that. The UAW, whoever, executive board, just went out and didn't care where they were getting members from. They brought members into a union that is not for them. If you look at it, you have teachers' unions. You have unions for nurses. Gambling is a little different because it was a new phenomenon. But you cannot mix apples and oranges and think that these are supposed to get what those got. It just doesn't balance to me. But that's my opinion. And I mean no harm to anyone. But the field that I come out of is being harmed drastically.
I agree with that, Adrian, but don't you think they kind of had some firsthand knowledge 10 years ago about the electric car and how we were going to be downsized and all
this
shit? So they went out. They knew. That's why I truly believe they changed the format for dues, because they knew they weren't going to have that big dollar figure to take 2.5 hours a month from, so we got to change it a little different, and they did, and now they even figured out how to, like you said, siphon it down below that 600 or 800,000 under the organizing thing where it'll never get to that thing. You'll never get that half hour back.
Right. And if you think about just like they had the teacher strike, right? They weren't getting $50 a week. Why were they getting $275? They haven't even put enough in the strike fund for them to get that kind of money. You can't come in and get what everybody else get. See, that's what you did to the tiers. You brought them in and paid them less money and say, oh, they've got to wait for 8 years before they could become a permanent full-time employee with, oh, that's right, they don't even get all the damn benefits. I mean, we just really take a look at this. It's very heartbreaking. And I'm going to also tell you that I know for a fact, back in 1989, when I was in school, and used the automotive as a model, they were talking about the downsizing and how they were going to downsize. This stuff is all forecasted for at least 10 to 15 years. And they didn't call it downsizing. They call it right-sizing.
Right.
The only one that was right-sized at the time was Chrysler Automotive. And so GM and Ford had to get down to where Chrysler, or as close as they could to where Chrysler was, to be right-sized. GM being the one that had the most employees, Ford being the second. So, like I said, this has been going on for quite a while.
Yep.
Not that we
like
it.
I remember that.
Yeah, it's not that we like it. But when you look and they tell you, oh, they got a, what did they say? They got a million and some odd members that's active and retirees. Well, look at it this way. You've got at least 800,000 retirees. Automotive retirees.
Yep.
Well, they're not trying to just downsize the industry. They're trying to obliterate the UAW and practically eliminate it within the plants.
Mm-hmm.
And our union doesn't fight back at all. You know, it's like, you know, if I ran a company and my workforce is getting more productive, I wouldn't try to get rid of them. I'd bring work in-house, and that's not what the company's doing. They're doing exactly the opposite, and it's just mind-boggling to me that the union goes along with it instead of fighting for insourcing of work. There's plenty of room in our plant to bring in work.
Well,
well
yeah.
You got to remember, too, that I don't care – The propagandist lies that they constantly are bombarding us with about the global economy and global, right? If it were truly global, then why? Answer me this. Why does the majority of profits generated by Ford, Chrysler, and General Motors come from the United States if this is a global economy?
Mm-hmm.
And what's your profit sharing based off of?
North American operations for us.
Right.
Right. Exactly. If it's that global, right?
Not global, just North American operations.
Just,
right. Yes, I realize that. I'm being a little facetious.
Yep, you're right.
But it's global. I just want to make sure that everybody knows it's global, but you're only going to get profit sharing off North America.
Well, actually, you have to be careful. You might not want that global because you got to remember that so many of them are in the red that's not here. And they send monies from here because they're in the black to those that's in the red globally. And they try to bring them up to the black.
Well, give me a little bit of what Mexico is getting because they got 4 to 5 brand new models out of Ford. So I'm going to see on the article.
Oh, we're through with the article.
Oh, okay. Just want to make sure.
Now, what about through the show?
Yeah.
We got about a minute left, and that's it.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Good night, Paul.
Good night, Paul.
Good night,
if
Paul.
If something comes up, we'll do another show, Paul.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Paul.
Yep. Good night.
So... All right. Well, I think that was a good slice and dice.
Yeah, I think that we'll probably hear some more sometime in July or early August.
Right. I think we'll hear something sooner than that because somebody's got to cover the financial secretary.
Well...
They probably appointed Brian in there.
Well, we're not going to be able to cancel our summer shows every other week if we got this much stuff coming up.
Yeah, that's true.
They'll come
thank
in,
you.
They'll make your
thank
appointment
you.
And
thank
slide
you, thank
right
you.
Out.
Nope. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't cancel our summer shows.
Thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think that, people will enjoy being able to call in and just voice whatever thoughts that they're having. Because I've always had a problem with them canceling union meetings because of summer. And no, they shouldn't be canceled. But, that's just me.
I'm still waiting for my one member, one vote bumper stickers that Don keeps saying he's going to put out. All he keeps sending me is, honk if you're horny, and I still haven't figured out what that's got to do with the show.
Well, hey, if you was to take your car out of park when the light turns green, maybe people wouldn't keep honking at you so you feel better about yourself.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Come on now.
When you figure that out, Don, will you let us know?
Yeah. Really.
I don't know. Can we at least have a little vote as to can we have a show every other week or something?
It's up to the powers that be, Don.
I'm asking. I'm just asking.
I second that motion.
Missy. Oh, yeah, well.
I thought we were just doing every other week to begin with anyways. I didn't know we were canceling the whole show.
Yeah, well. All right. Don't sit there, Scotty. Say something.
I'm just sitting here thinking. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. How about
business?
I don't hear me either.
I'm going to say it for him. Scott needs a month off. If Adrian, and some of the other ones can step up and run a show every other week, I don't think that would hurt. Does anybody else have a problem with that? But I understand where Scotty right now. He's farming in his thing. He's doing something he loves.
Don, anybody forget me? About the man that's
well,
got
yeah,
the
but I thought you wanted to keep it going, too. Yeah, it's up to you guys. I'm all for taking the summer off, too. We've always done it that way, but there's a lot of nothing.
3-1.
Well, Don, if we keep doing the show, it just keeps your Sunday night open for you having to go down to the truck stop.
I'm just
quiet.
To
Cinnamon might
working.
Be listening.
who might be listening?
Cinnamon.
Oh, Cinnamon.
You get it right. I don't know how Scotty gets out of this. I don't care if he's farming. I don't give a damn. He's farmer dick. I don't give a damn.
He just does what he's told. Mama does all the work.
I want the dick farmer.
Mama Jean's taking care of that farm. Daddy does that absolutely nothing. So let's get that
exactly.
Right. All right. Damn. Why in the hell did he have to retire? Anyway, yeah, well, I guess we should till we get something straight. I guess we should do something.
Yeah, I did.
How much more money do we got to kick in?
Money, you know. No, never had to charge yet, but damn, it's getting close. Few people are pissing me.
Beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, and onions. They skip the onions, they give me heartburn, Don.
Yeah, all right. And Missy, we'll talk at another time.
Okay, sweetheart.
Gentlemen, we're going to have to move tonight's sex section to Monday or Tuesday, please. Thank you.
So the next show would be July 11th that you guys would do.
I have no idea. You guys may
right.
do that.
I'm looking at the fourth, on a Sunday. Yes, that's next weekend. So the weekend after that would be the 11th. Easy.
Well, hold on. We might get COVID. We might have to take the summer off. Somebody's coughing.
No, that's right. That's me.
Well, put a damn mask on if you're going to do the show.
Yeah, we social distance.
You put your mask on. Are you having that one away from the phone?
One at a time. I don't have a clue what anybody said. Everybody's talking over each other.
Windsock, that's the thing they make you put over a microphone to knock down the wind noise.
I've got one.
July 11th at 7. 2 weeks from now, July 11th.
I'm going to pull a Rip Van Winkle. I'll see you then.
Unless something happens and we need to do it sooner, we will. You know.
Right.
Whatever you guys decide. Just give me a buzz. I'm just right here apparently doing nothing with my life. Nobody even asked me where they got these baddies that have a month off. Bullshit. That's all
I got. Well, that's who we was asking. We were asking you, Don.
No. Nobody asked me. They were worried about Scotty. Scotty's Farmer Dick. Farmer Dick got a month off. Bullshit. Farmer Dick got to have a month off my ass. Donnie, right. Farmer Dick Donnie don't get a damn month off. Farmer Dick Scott doesn't either. Got that right.
Why are you talking about a dick farmer your ass in the same
stuff? Oh, well, be careful over there, 313. I still got an ex that can just hang up on you real quick now. Just relax.
Do you want to take the summer off, Don?
No, I said we'll do something because we probably need to do something. But you ain't taking the damn summer off, wherever in the hell that was, Scotty. Just keep that in mind.
Scott,
I think we should.
Wait a minute, Don. Scott, does this mean I got to give you back the $10?
Yeah.
Give it back. Because he'll be here. He'll be here on the 11th of July?
The 11th of July.
Well, by God, somebody remind me on the 10th of July on Saturday night show that we got a damn show because I will forget.
Uh-oh. So, you got to remind him.
He'll do.
Well, I can put it on my calendar, but I never look at my calendar.
Oh my goodness.
I can't ever get you to answer your damn phone when I call, you know, unless I call you dirty names. Then you call me back real quick. Let me clarify that.
Everybody, I don't even carry my phone. I don't give a damn about that phone. I want to go back to where it was on a wall and there was no answer machine. And if you caught me, you caught me. And if you didn't, tough.
That's right.
That's right.
I had a lot more beer in the fridge back them days, you know it.
You got a point there. I had people coming over. Let's play horseshoes because I had that in the backyard. Well, they started bugging me so bad, I dug it all up. We ain't got no horseshoes no more.
Oh.
And then they stopped coming around.
Yeah, I switched the yard jarts after I stabbed a few friends. Nobody came over. It's all good.
They were talking about, let's play cornhole. I thought they were gay. I didn't know what the hell they were talking about. I have never in my life heard of that game. I never heard of cornhole.
I heard about you buggers.
Oh, God. I mean, really, I swear to God, I really thought, man, these guys, I didn't think they were that way. For a long time, I just never went where there were a cornhole game going on, I guess, until about four years ago, I seen this. I got a catalog, and it said cornhole game for, I think it was $24.99 or something. I go, I'll be damned. It's a freaking game. Try to hit that hole. I thought
it must be that Jeffro Bodine education there on that cornholio.
It must have been, man, because I stayed away from that. I'm saying.
Hey,
I stayed
before
away.
I let you,
okay.
I let you guys go, before I let you go, let's remember to keep our brothers and sisters in our thoughts that are down there in Volvo. They're still on strike.
Thank you. And they're doing a damn good job.
Yes, they are.
They're standing up against the corporation and a UAW leadership that wants to do them wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I told that one girl about the Black Laws Dictionary. I think that's why you keyed on what you did earlier tonight, because they're playing the word game with them people, only they're smart enough, they're learning from our mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's
right.
A blessing in itself.
Yeah, keep them in mind.
It's together in solidarity.
Yeah.
All right.
How you beat them. But sometimes it's a truck to fall on you to learn it. Go ahead, Scotty.
So I guess we'll see everybody on July 11th.
There is no guess about it. We'll be here July 11th.
There you go.
Peace, well, folks.
It's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, July 11th. Scotty, Jimmy, Connie, Adrian, Missy, Carrie, Paul, 313. I hate to add 313, but I will.
You're going to the house!
We'll all be back for another session of the UAW Factory Whistle Show. Until then, be safe. And take care of yourselves and your families. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.